Hello, and thank you for listening to this episode of our Unsolved podcast. I'm David Lydon. In this episode, we're looking at the case of Jacob Cavanaugh, who went missing from Grand Traverse County back on March 31st of 2010. It's a case that takes us more than 1,000 miles away from Traverse City, and as you'll see, the timeline detectives piece together only adds to the mystery. So let's start by getting to know Jacob by hearing from those who knew him best, his sister, Sandra, and his son, Xander.
Oh, Jacob is a... It's hard. 14 years is not... It was today. It was yesterday. It was not 14 years ago. You know, it was so recent. Jacob is a lovely person. He could light up any room. He had a grin that went from ear to ear. Just his mannerisms when he was talking to you, he was present. He was there intently, and miss him daily.
Jacob's son Xander was just 6 years old back in 2010.
Well, I've got memories from parts here and there. But overall, he's definitely left a lasting impact on me with certain activities like disc golfing, skateboarding, and stuff like that. I think it's affected me pretty heavy, his disappearance growing up. Now I've only known him for a little over a quarter of my life, so it does seem a bit different. It almost seems like a distant past memory now, or like a nightmare.
March 31st, 2010 was a day that ended like so many others had for Jacob.
He went disc golfing with some friends, and what I was told is after disc golfing, he was invited out to go, you know, to a hang out at the open space or do something else with the friends, and he said, no, I've got homework to do. He was a student at NMC, so he was heading back to our mom's house where he was staying at the time, and dropped friends off at open space, and that was it. The next morning, when my mom called me and said Jacob never came home last night, she called Dave's garage where he was employed at the time, and he did not show up for work, and so that was all against his character.
And Dave was his boss?
Yep, Dave's garage here in Traverse City was his boss. And that was totally against his character. And that's when she went to the police that day and said, my son is missing. And they said, well, we have to wait a week. And then it was on Monday that she received in the mail, you know, two notices that his credit card was used and declined.
Jacob's bank card would prove absolutely critical to detectives trying to piece together what happened to him and where he might have gone. So let's bring in Detective Jason Polzine to the conversation right now. He's one of the detectives currently working the case for the Grand Traverse County Sheriff's Office.
And then his friend wants him to go downtown drinking. And at that point, he's got homework to do, so he just decides to head home. At that point, it's probably about 9:30. Mm-hmm. And then that's when kind of the story takes kind of a turn.
Yeah, he's a turn that sometimes doesn't make a lot of sense when you look at the timeline. First really big point on this is Buckley is kind of the first, I guess, piece to this puzzle, correct?
There is one stop. He does hit a gas station in Traverse City, the mutual station, and then he goes down to Buckley, and it was a small transaction. I tried to get a receipt or what was purchased, but there was no record of what was purchased, so...
Okay. And he was for sure.
Correct. There was no video either for that purchase.
We just know that his card was used to
correct.
Make a purchase there. What's the stop after Buckley?
Then there's a gas station in Cadillac, and $140 was taken from an ATM. And again, that's another one. There was no video. His card was used, so we're assuming that was him.
And then after Cadillac, what's next?
The next one is about 2 a.m. He's down at a speedway in Manitowan, Michigan, which is just outside of Kalamazoo. But that one, there is video, and from what I've seen, I'm convinced that it is Jacob Cavanaugh.
So now we're on to April 1st at this
Correct.
Point, early morning
Correct.
Of
early
April,
morning hours.
Of April 1st. So purchase it, Mattawan, pretty convinced that he was in fact there.
Yes, the video, the description of the clothing is the same. It was a gray hoodie, blue jeans, and it, from what I can tell, it was him.
So he's heading south at this point.
Correct.
Not clear why, though.
Correct. That's one of the big questions is why.
After that stop in Mattawan, what's next?
The next one, there wasn't anything until his phone pinged in St. Louis, Missouri, at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 2:30. And again, we're just going off the records we were provided, and it puts him in a general area, and we're just assuming it was him because it was a phone call made to his VA loan, so the money was, or to his veterans loan, so the money would slide over for the month.
And this was him checking in saying, yep, still in the National Correct. Guard, still good, Correct. Go ahead, send the cash. So there's about a 12-hour window there between gas station purchase in Mattawan and cell phone ping in St. Louis, somewhere in the Midwest.
Correct. And you know, Cadillac, there was cash pulled out, so we're just kind of guessing that some of the transactions for gas or food wouldn't have been on the card, would have been with cash. But again, we don't know route of travel or anything for sure.
Right, because you can't, if he's paying with cash, it's impossible to
right.
ping him at a gas station or a
Correct.
Restaurant between here and somewhere in the Midwest.
Correct.
So he makes that phone call 2:30 in the afternoon on April 1st. What's next?
Next, again, there wasn't anything until Hollister, I did a FBI offline search. And that was records that anytime there's lean traffic run, the FBI stores that data. And about a little after midnight on April 2nd, Hollister PD, which is a small police department in Missouri, ran his plate. I reached out to the department and they didn't have any record at that point. This was years later. Mm-hmm. They didn't have any record of who the officer was or where that plate was run. They just somewhere in their jurisdiction. And then the next time, that FBI offline search also revealed that around 3:30 in the morning, a sheriff's department in Arkansas made contact with him and ran a file check of Jacob Cavanaugh, and I was actually able to obtain dash cam of that officer's interactions with Jacob Cavanaugh.
Detective Polzine wouldn't say much about what's on that dash cam video, other than that Cavanaugh had a brief conversation with the officer and there did not appear to be anyone else with him.
I believe the rest area was probably 3:30 in the morning, probably just saw an out-of-state tag, just thought he'd swing in, check, make sure, see if the guy's sleeping, see if the guy's alive or well, or just check on what brings somebody from Michigan to Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. And then that dash cam conversation at 3:30, was there any indication of why he walked up and said?
Again, he was just checking on him just to see what he was doing.
Okay. But that dash cam conversation was different than the Hollister.
Yeah, I think they just ran a plate. An officer probably came up behind him, ran his plate,
gotcha.
And then never made a traffic stop or anything. Maybe he was on the side of the road sleeping or something there,
sure.
but never actually made contact. But I don't really know what the reason for the contact was in Hollister.
Okay. It never went down as like an official traffic stop.
Correct.
Per
Correct.
Se. So after everything on the second, two interactions with officers, even not so much Midwest now, but now you're getting into the South. What's next?
Again, his card, and again, we don't have video of this, but his card was declined outside of Ardmore, Oklahoma, at a gas station around 11:30 on the 2nd, and there was no further transaction. And then the next one was about 1:30. His card was used in Fort Worth, and we did get assistance from an agency in Texas, and they did get video, but the video I saw, it does not resemble Jacob Cavanaugh in any way.
Different build, different
yeah,
clothing
correct.
From what I've
yes.
read.
It's quite a bit shorter.
So as you're piecing together the timeline and you see he's clearly on dash cam on April 2nd, and then now we're pushing towards April 3rd in Fort Worth, and all of a sudden, okay, it's maybe not Jacob. What are you thinking as a detective at that point?
Well, I did reach out for assistance and try to get the video enhanced to someone who has, you know, their credentials, their forensic software and stuff, and I just their stuff was inconclusive as well. So that was the first thing I wanted to do, is find out, was this actually Jacob in Fort Worth and ultimately Sweetwater, or is it just someone using a car, maybe driving his car, or not even the same car? But again, that their help was appreciated, but it didn't reveal anything.
Didn't definitively give you another
path
to go down.
It could be the wrong meeting time, right?
Yes. Yeah, so, with every leap or leap year, changing clocks, we don't even know if they had the right date and time.
Okay. And then after Fort Worth, there's just one more time where there's evidence of anything from him being used as far as car, bank card. Tell me about essentially the last piece of evidence you have in this timeline.
So the last time his card was used was about 4:45 on April 2nd at a gas station at Sweetwater. And again, as all we can tell from the video, it does appear that there's his car, a silver Malibu. But right as you're going to get the best look at the person, someone exits the store and the door opens and it just completely washes the person walking around the car. That's it. There's no phone calls. There's no more credit card transactions after April 2nd, about 5:45.
So that's the timeline detectives have put together of Jacob's possible movements in the days following March 31st. It's one that's filled with gaps and holes that simply do not add up for detectives or Jacob's family.
It was all hands on deck with our family, extended family, cousins that I hadn't talked to in a while were saying, missing persons flyers, send me the flyer, we'll plaster it everywhere. And it was, we saw that this credit card was used in Cadillac and Buckley, so we started thinking, let's follow the card.
And you followed the card?
We followed the card.
It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense at all. We tried to actually follow it with the times that it was used, recorded on the bank statement. So we were in Buckley at whatever time it was, and then we made sure we went to the exact same spots in all the different places. And then we didn't buy gas from I believe it's I can't say the word. It's a
Manitowoc
or something like that, just south of Grand Rapids. Mm-hmm. And then the next gas that was purchased was in Fort Worth, Texas. And so we tried to do that, and you can't. You have to stop somewhere else and buy gas. And so we don't know how he would have managed that at all.
Then there was another development in the case in 2017.
And then the VIN number on the card does turn up at some point.
Yes, that was, I think, 2017. And again, is all I could get is that at some point the National Crime Insurance Bureau had record of that plate, possibly a scrapyard and possibly in Mexico, but they couldn't give me a region or even how it ended up there.
And there's no evidence that Jacob crossed the border.
No, we reached out to CBP, but they didn't have, apparently they only check coming north. They don't really monitor the southbound.
Detectives did another round of interviews in 2022, but still parts of the case simply do not add up.
Jacob wasn't one to just up and disappear. This is the first time anything like this had ever happened. He had a good job. He worked at a local garage, and he's not one to just miss work. He was due to show up for work, I believe it was Wednesday, and no one from work had heard from him. So for him to just totally no call, no show, was out of character. His girlfriend at the time didn't know what he was up to. His best friend at the time didn't know what he was up to. So in my opinion, those are just kind of some things that are out of the ordinary. You think if he had this plan, I got to do this, he would let the girlfriend know or let his friend, hey, I'm going to be gone for a couple days, I'll be back as quick as I can. But there was no calls, no texts while he was on this trip. So that's puzzling too.
And he had a lot holding him to the Grand Traverse area too.
Correct.
You're talking kid, family, everything.
Two kids, two boys, 12 and 6 at the time. An ex-wife who he had a decent relationship with, a girlfriend. He was looking at buying a house. He was about due to graduate from college and get an associate degree. He had a job. There's people out there that they have their mind made up of what information they're going to tell us. And from an investigative standpoint, there's, I'll just call it discrepancies in their stories. I don't believe them. But so I guess that's probably the challenging part is trying to find the proof and you know, chip away at their stories little by little and get to the truth of what really happened to Jacob.
And Jacob's family has not given up on trying to figure out what happened to him.
Well, I mean, growing up, it was always hard hearing my friends talk about doing stuff with their dad and having that relationship that I missed, I wanted. But, I mean, I did have 6 years with him, which is more than some people get. So, I don't know, I don't feel like I can really complain too much about it. It is what it is. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I would have hoped or wished for a different outcome, something else to happen. Mm-hmm. But under the circumstances, I don't know. Just got to keep on moving.
It's so incredibly hard, you know, when you want some kind of closure, you want to know what happened, and, you know, we're a large family, but that doesn't mean he's not missed, you know. It's, you know, every holiday, every birthday, every time we get together, mm-hmm. you know, I asked my family, would anyone want to do this interview? And it was crickets. And it was my mother saying, it's just too hard. And then the next question was, is anyone opposed to me doing this interview? And everyone said, go for it. You know, we need to keep doing it, but it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, so that's putting ourselves out there all the time, but somebody knows something. And, you know, I just think that it's gotta be eating at that person. They have to be wanting to come clean and just tell their part of it. There's somebody out there.
If you have any information about what happened to Jacob Cavanaugh, contact the Grand Traverse County Sheriff's Office at 231-995-5000. Thank you for listening to this episode of Unsolved. For 9 and 10 News, I'm David Lydon.